Good morning, LinkedIn friends, Valley First Nation. Welcome to another episode of Valley First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. It is Monday, October 6th, 2025. How are we doing, Nico?
We're doing good, sir. We're doing very good. It's a good morning, good start to the week so far. I have a lot of little minor releases that came out over this past weekend. Nothing, again, minor releases, but what's interesting is minor in a major way. So like open source video model that's as good as VO3. So like a free version of VO3 that can run desktop, right? So like some little stuff that came like Quen 3 drop, which is nothing to shake a stick at. For those of you who don't know, Quen is the OpenAI of Alibaba. So, or is the GPT rather of Alibaba. So, their model is powered by Huawei, and per both a Moonshots episode as well as a couple of YouTube people I follow. So, you know, when little news starts to bubble, that to me is like, oh, okay, well, this is going to turn into something pretty big pretty soon. And people have been talking about Quen, but not too much. It hasn't really done a whole lot in terms of like benchmarks. It hasn't really like gotten close to anybody yet. And then, you know, DeepSeek was out there, and R3 is pretty decent by comparison to everybody. But then, you know, Quen 3 drops, and it's like, this is a good as 4.5 Sonnet, like almost. It's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy you guys did that. How'd you do that, right? And it's like, well, that's because, you know, China is now becoming even more self-dependent, right? Huawei pushing out some awesome chips. And I mean, like, that's, you know, so we got some software stuff, some hardware stuff going on. And you know, of course, philosophical changes around the board. Got the Bezos talking about, it was a great interview. Hats off to the YouTuber, by the way, for the amazingly deceptive title that made it seem as though Jeff Bezos was going to be talking about how much of a bubble the AI market was. And in reality, it was the exact opposite. And he was talking about the fact that what most people don't understand, you know, too many people look externally and they don't look internally. So he was like, you know, if you look at the other bubbles that have happened from like what happened on the outside, you know, obviously the bubble, you know, started to expand, but what was underneath it was nothing. So like you take a look at the dot-com bubble and it expanded and dot-com sites became huge, but underneath that was nothing. It was just the sites and potentially the businesses. So when the house of cards falls, there's nothing to support it. During the housing crisis, you know, bubble expands. Yeah, there were plenty of people that own houses. Didn't really do a whole lot to like help the rest of the world necessarily. Like you owning a house doesn't help the rest of the world, right? That's just you own a house. So when that burst, same thing. Now we have, you know, this AI bubble. At least that's what people are calling it. And they're calling it hype. But the problem is, this bubble enriches every single thing that it touches. So the more you expand it, the more powerful you make it. And almost like the more sustainable you make the system that sits on top of it. So there's like, there's a bit of a crazy economics thing happening too.
It's not. It's not confined to the U.S. only.
Nope.
It's not. Like, yes, a lot of money is being thrown at it, but a lot of infrastructure is being built. And this digital intelligence is new, brand new infrastructure that, like, I mean, what China's doing, what others are doing, like, it shows that the intelligence is already where it needs to be. And since it's already there, it will work within the constraints that you give it to figure shit out. right? And that's what's happening. And the foundation like continues to rise. And no matter like if money goes, like the foundation will still be there, right? And it's like we talked about yesterday, unless like apocalypse happens, like, and all the found, like all systems of Earth like go away. And it's like hunting and gathering mode for everybody. Like that's the only way that's we're not seeing this future that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. And like, again, like AI is going to cut through so much bullshit. Like what are the bubbles always related to? Like money.
Yeah.
Like and fake hopes and dreams, like, and like lottery tickets, you know, and that's mm-hmm. That's not what this is. It's.
No, this is, this is infrastructure, right? So it would be the equivalent of, and that's why it's so unprecedented, is because we've never, this generation, right? There's not too many people who are like 105 years old, right? That can like tell us about, hey, this is what it was like when Ford revolutionized the industrial age, right? That would be somewhat like what's happening now, but even still. So like, try to imagine that, like the industrial age, the industrial revolution was as close as you're going to get to this, but the industrial revolution didn't touch your cell phone. Right. Like, I mean, it does now, obviously. Right. Like, but even now, that's only possible because of automation. So like, it's one of those things where AI goes into everything that's going to be in your home. Basically, it's going to be an underlying infrastructure to electronics just globally. Right. So what's happening right now is the expansion of that infrastructure. And because it is at the core of everything, you know, when all of this first started, when I was trying to explain to people like in the financial sector who didn't understand any of the AI economics, which are different than regular economics. And unfortunately, economists don't want to cope with that. And oh, well, look, I'm not a mathematician, and I can tell you that these people have been wrong since the beginning. No joke, me and Chris have been right since the beginning. So, yeah, I mean, since the start, I've been telling people, like, this is the new IBM. This is the new Microsoft. These are the new blue chip stocks. They're not going anywhere. Ever. And they will only ever get more valuable. And eventually, they're going to allow, like, common person, let's say, I just mean people who don't have thousands of dollars to be able to get into the casino. They're going to let regular people be able to take part in that company. I'm not joking. This is going to happen. And then everyone goes along for the ride. Because economically, it won't make sense otherwise. I tried to put it in scale for somebody yesterday because they were like, what you're saying doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, okay, so it's an infrastructure, right? Again, I'm not an economist. I'm not a mathematician, but this is the best way that I can put it. It's an infrastructure technology. Okay. It's owned by very, very few companies, extremely few by comparison to any other technology, service, anything. ChatGPT basically owns the UAE in terms of service. Like, no one else is there in such a widespread manner. Same thing in Great Britain. Like, Sam is working hardcore in every country around the world, right? So, given that that's the case, what would the total asset value be of all electrical companies on the face of the earth? Because whatever that is, that's what this is going to get to very quickly. So like that's the scale of monies that they will be making. And when you're making money at that scale, and we're talking about, again, handful, tops, five companies are going to be making this money. Now, everybody else will be making money, just not at that. It's an exponential scale. So these guys are going to be the vertical. Everybody else will scale down accordingly, but it won't be like the bottom of the scale is the bottom. The bottom of the scale will still be like $50 million a year or something. Like it'll be what you need. So because it's going to be so excessive at the top, these guys are already talking about how to give the money away. Have you ever heard of companies say this? Talk about, we know we're going to make so much in profit, we need to figure out how we're going to redistribute it to the public.
Yeah.
But you guys think that there's a bubble and that it's hype. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Nah, it's...
I don't know what to tell you. These companies are 10xing every year in earnings. 10xing from 1 billion last year to 10 billion this year, then 10x next year. That's just the formula. It's not even a joke. It's a formula. They can live by it, for crying out loud. OpenAI has become, it is now the highest privately owned valued company in history. No other company in history has ever been worth more than OpenAI has on a private level. If that company, like, people are like, well, I don't understand why it doesn't go public. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? It would be insane. It would be utterly insane, first of all. Second of all, we'd all be subject, our entire monetary system would be subject to the performance of ChatGPT. Does that really sound like a great idea to everybody? No. Okay, so let's just take it easy. Yeah. But still, like, it's everything, you know, it's just unprecedented change.
Yeah. And it's the lens that we look at technology through. Like, and until we see it as infrastructure, like, we don't talk about democratization of water.
No.
Or electricity. It's about access. And, like, as if it's like, you're right to this access, to this utility, basically. And that's what these people in these organizations are trying to, you know, provide. And that's only going to come through infrastructure. And it's just a different paradigm, right? Like, so what are we doing to help the people out? There you go.
Well, at least to help people out from a business perspective. You know, we talked about too many people focusing on the external and not focusing enough on the internal. And that, to me, is exactly what goes on with very much every large-scale to enterprise B2B today. I'm really sure of it. I'm so sure of it. I could walk into nearly every company, any company that wasn't leveraging AI at this point in the right way. I know that I could walk through the door, ask you the question, do you know what your customer lifetime value is? And it will take you 3 to 4 weeks to figure it out. And a whole team of people and a lot of money. It'll take me an hour, tops. So what we're doing for everybody is we're teaching them how to make the transition, right? We talked about how you need to do value first and how there is actually more to be gained there than there is to be gained elsewhere. What does that look like? It looks like what I've put together, which is called the ACP, right? Which is the actual customer profile. The difference between that and your ICP, and this is not to the ICP, you know, crowd out there, but it is what it is. Your ICP is your ideal customer profile. Great. That was put together by somebody who kind of knows your business. Maybe they did some research, but, you know, they're part of an agency, so they're under the gun. They might have did a week, 2 weeks. And if we're saying 2 weeks, they're hourly. So they maybe put 6 hours in total. to do the research on your company, to try to figure out who your customer is, to try to figure out where your segment is, who you're really up against. And then they got to sit down and you got to be in that 6-hour meeting where everybody pokes back and forth about, hey, is this the right information? Is that the right information? Can you verify this for me? Then you get all your CRM set up, you get your marketing in place, you get your sales team in place, and you drive towards that ICP. And the whole time you're driving, you're worried about conversion, you're worried about leads, you're worried about quality, you're worried about, hey, like, why aren't we closing as much? Strategizing. We got to, you know, slave over our reporting in order to figure out where we're going to go next and what's going to happen and what people are doing. And the entire time, you just keep looking outward and you keep looking in the wrong direction. The actual customer profile is literally meant for any business that's been in business for 6 months to a year. And what it does, so like your ICP is great for setting you up, right? It can definitely tee you off as a business to figure out, like, okay, here's where I should maybe go. Here's where I should maybe start out at. But your ACP is going to tell you, okay, of the people that I've been in business with, here's what they're actually doing. Here's what they're actually buying. Here's the way that they actually move through my system. Here's the way that they actually talk to my salespeople. This is what they actually do when they're going through service department. And what all that does for you, right? When I've talked to people about this system, it's like, imagine the capability of being able to prospect leads that perfectly matched the capability of your sales rep, such that when the lead came in, a process that would normally, even on a B2B level, take 60 to 90 days, starts coming down to 30 days, 45 tops, because the conversations are a lot easier because it's practically a tailored conversation in the first place. The person they're talking to is somebody that they know very well. I was speaking to somebody recently who was telling me about, you know, working as a salesman on the car lot, right? And we were talking about how that translates and the fact that, you know, if you've been doing it for 30 years, how do you impart that 30 years of experience to every other person that walks on as a salesperson? You don't have 30 years to train them. And there's no way they're going to be able to pick it up in a short amount of time. But they probably have a particular way of selling that is really good for them, that really works. But there's also a particular buyer that is really good for them. So there might be one guy that's actually good at all. But again, it took them 30 years to get there. So for the new guys, rather than trying to morph them into what the one dude is, which is going to take forever. It's not going to happen. They're going to stumble. You're going to end up building up a bad reputation of, you know, oh, well, you know, their sales guys are kind of forced and maybe they kind of don't know what they're talking about and this, that, and the other. Or do you figure out what that person's strength is first and then look at your customer base and align the pipeline of that particular type of customer to the sales rep? That's what ACP is all about. And the same thing happens for marketing, because now marketing knows exactly who they're targeting and you know exactly what channels they live in. So you know where to talk to them. This whole thing of like talking to the right person at the right time in the right place. If you're going by ICP, you're just guessing. You're shooting in the dark. You're throwing a net out there. If you're doing it by ACP, you're using a harpoon. Going scuba diving, right? Like you definitely, it's just fish in a barrel at that point, because you are only targeting your market. You're building up that customer relationship, right?
Like based on your data, like right. Not based on not your data.
Like, well, people in your industry typically do this. Yeah. Yeah. But that's what people in the industry do. And do you want to be like everybody else in the industry, or do you want to just be really good at what you do? Right.
And that's really what this is about, like the intelligence. So I got the QR code up on the screen. The Value First AI Skills Bootcamp You also see it called strategic intelligence because it's intelligence that already exists inside of your company, inside your people, inside your data sets. Like, and that's why AI, for those who choose to start to leverage it, it's a quick start. Like, the barrier to entry is low because you just have to understand how to apply AI, a new, very intelligent partner, to the data that you already have. Even if it's starting with just getting the salesperson to just talk out loud and record a conversation and then start feeding the system, right? You're probably already doing stuff like that. And I think one of the main expected outcomes of the bootcamp is like how to leverage that, right? Like how to take what you see and what AI is telling you and then turn it into, you know, actionable activity, you know, for your business.
Not just actionable activity. I know that like everybody uses those words and those terms now, because that's the new like marketing sales gimmick or whatever. And it's great. Like that's what marketing does, right? Like they come up with terms that are catchy and people use them. And then it makes people say like, oh, well, that's the same thing that everybody else has. So I'll go shop over there. That's awesome. I'm just blunt. I'm not going to fuck around, right? You're not going to get in here and the first class is going to be a syllabus where I'll talk to you about the rest of the classes and I'll give you a high level overview. No, we are going to work right out the gate. You are going to see right out the gate. You will need to review the tape because it's going to be a lot to take in if you're not already experienced with this stuff. But what you walk away with, and I am not bullshitting you, you are going to walk away with millions of dollars worth of knowledge. I'm not joking. If you have a business, worth millions. If you don't have a business, worth millions. Not joking. Right? When, like, I can tell you guys that I did this for free at Inbound. So, unfortunately, some of you guys missed it. Five people were very lucky and floored the whole time. We almost spent twice the amount of time that we were supposed to, just because of the fact that there were just additional questions about how, but how, and then like, how do I go further and what else is next? So trust me, this is a boot camp where if you take what you do seriously, if you take your business seriously, if you take your brand seriously, and you are actually ready to use AI in a way that will help you in your decision making. In other words, don't walk in the door if you think you're just going to learn some new pet trick that, you know, you're going to kind of just, yeah, oh, that's cool. And look what we did. No, this is meant to change the way that you look at your business. It's meant to change the way in which you make decisions towards what you do with your business. And it's meant to do it in the most accurate way possible. People talk all the time about, oh, we'd love to shift position, but money, if we spend the money, we could lose it. And if we lose it, then we should put ourselves backward. Okay. Come learn how to actually shift position quickly, easily, and on target. Never having to worry about, oh, but if we shift, the money's not going to be there. The crowd's not going to be there. I hear this bullshit about, oh, distribution channels are hard. They're difficult. You got to be there. Okay, I'll show you how to get there. I'll show you how to get right in there for $20 a month on a membership. I'm going to show you how to do shit that's going to be worth millions of dollars. Yep. So, in terms of like, is the boot camp worth signing up for? I don't know. Do you how much more money do you want to make with your business? How much more successful do you want to be? How much more of an advantage do you want to have on your competition? Because that's, I mean, more than anything else, if you are struggling in your space to try to get more of the pie, this is the answer.
Yeah. Gotta figure out a way to turn AI into your best friend. And that's why you have to look at things differently, because you've never looked at your business before through the lens of AI and collaborating with AI to get these things figured out at a scale you've never felt before, with a clarity you've never seen before.
It will shock you. It will honestly
it
shock
does. You. It does. And that's a favorite feeling for us when we see that shock like in people. That's why we're doing this at the cost that it's at. Because it's like we really want, like again, this value exists already inside of your organization with some tools that are already available to you. And you just got to, we got to find a way to help you start using them, folks. Like, because there's no excuses. And this is not a bunch of prompt templates or prompt engineering. This is like real understanding of what's happening so that you can leave with real value, whether it's one session or it's all nine. Like, that's the thing. That's why it's not an intro session. Like, first session, you could buy that by itself if you wanted. It's just like the other workshops. There's no kind of slow onboard. It's like right away digging into it. So I'm excited. We've been talking about this for a while.
Yep.
Finally getting it out of the gate. I think at the right time. It'll take us right up to Christmas with a break for Thanksgiving. But yeah, man, it's enough is enough. Basically, we gotta get going, folks.
Very much. And honestly, you know, I'm gonna be talking about this as much as possible. Probably gonna be plugging it every day. And yeah, I encourage you, if you're a founder, if you're a startup, even if you're already, again, if you're already in play, this is your way of either securing your footing or putting you forward. And if you're a founder or a startup, this is your way to quite literally crush your competition on the way in.
So let's go, people. Everybody have a great week. Thanks so much, Nico. See you tomorrow.
See you guys.